Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take box office bombs, underappreciated classics, and forgotten movies and pit them against each other for the right to go up on Mount Valhalla. I'm Biggs.
I'm the beard.
I'm Zach.
I just need a little bit of sting on you, man. That's your little bit of something for being the judge.
Yeah, I am the judge tonight.
A little bit of flute music for you. I'm covering Enemy Mine tonight.
I'm talking about a little film called Attack the Block.
And we're doing an alien theme tonight, so dig in and get ready.
Spoiler alert, both these movies have aliens in them.
That's true, but very different aliens.
Yes, very different. Different.
Very different. Do you want to start out this time?
Sure. So, Attack the Block begins as a youngish woman, probably late 20s, early 30s, is walking home. It's Guy Fawkes night, and she's mugged by a local street gang. And said local street gang, throughout the film, will then become tasked with defending their block. Essentially, they live in a project in London. And their block is being attacked by aliens. Big, sort of bear-ish, wolfish-looking aliens with fangs and really black, like pitch-black fur that blends them into the night, which is a nice little trick for the effects. And they're led by Moses, as played by future Star Wars Episode 7 star John Boyega. And Moses and the gang, they successfully kill one of the creatures early on and bring it back to the weed room, because this is the kind of movie that has a weed room. It's a fortified weed room. It's a fortified weed room owned by a gangster and protected by Nick Frost, which is a lot of fun. And, you know, it's a little bit coming of age story, a little bit turning their lives around, becoming better men, a little bit of good old fashioned sort of teenage hoodlum fun.
A little bit of country, a little bit rock and roll.
It's true.
But
it's,
none of those things.
Neither of those things apply, but the sentiment applies. And, you know, they fight fucking aliens. It's cool. It's a cool, cool movie. People fight aliens in a hardcore way. There's two little young hoodlums running around who want to be part of the gang, and so they get a fun little subplot. It's good stuff all around.
Yeah, but they can't join the gang because they're 12 instead of 15.
Exactly. They're too young.
No, I think they were like 9.
They were little kids. I'd say probably, I'll bridge the gap and say they were 10 and a half.
I think one literally said 9 in the...
Yeah, probably. I can't remember, to be entirely honest with you. But they're little. They are not big enough to be the gang, even though these guys are sort of imitating the real gangs of the block. There's a real trickle-down gang cycle in this block.
Gotta raise them young.
It's a real problem. And there's great scenes where there's a lot of scenes where they're sort of hiding out in various places, and the best one is when they go hide out with the teenage girls and end up having to kill it with a figure skate when the aliens inevitably come. Cool. All right.
Is that your setup?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't like to go plot all the way through the plot. I like to reveal things as we go and save a little bit. It's less about spoilers and saving some things for people who may visit this movie.
All right. Well, I'm not going to do that at all.
Okay.
I'm covering Enemy Mine.
I actually appreciate that you aren't, because I've not seen Enemy Mine.
Yeah. So we start out with Dennis Quaid leading a bunch of starfighters that are fighting an alien race called the Drax. And they
the get, Destroyers?
Nope, just Drax. An individual one is called a Drac. No, for real.
So it's Drax, like D-R-A-C-K-S?
Sure. They never really had a spelling.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so we see Dennis Quaid, his fighter pilot jet gets crash-landed on a planet, and he watches his best friend get burned up in some fuel and drags him out, but he dies. And
well, then that's
he watches,
horrifying.
And he watches his ship get exploded. So Dennis Quaid goes crawling through this wasteland that he has no idea where he is or anything that's on the planet, and he sees that the Drac that shot him down is also on the planet. So he hides behind some bushes and waits to attack. The Drac suddenly sees some meteors that come shooting out from the sky everywhere, and he goes and jumps in the water and goes swimming. So Dennis Quaid immediately runs out, takes the fuel line from the Drac's jet and just pours it all over the river, sets it on fire, and starts laughing maniacally. The Drac gets out, they get in a giant battle, and Dennis Quaid gets knocked out and tied up. So while they're tied up, Dennis Quaid nearly gets eaten by this tentacle monster, and the Drax saves him because...
Was this the one that like looks like a tentacle, but it like has the face of a rancor?
Yes. And so Dennis Quaid gets saved in this attack by the Drax, and the Drax basically explains he'd rather have that ugly face than no ugly face at all.
And looking at him now, they are just hideous, yeah. Altogether hideous.
I'm glad that you brought that up. So these aliens are very hideous looking, especially for a movie in the 80s. This movie came out in 1984. They look as alien as you can get.
They look like Voldemort mixed with a Klingon mixed with a Triceratops.
Yeah, it's really ugly. And when they get upset, there's these little sacks on the side, like where the dimples would be, that inflate out and come back in. But I mean, it's like it's the creature design is ingeniously done. Now the planes don't really hold up anymore. Like they look pretty corny, but in a great way. Like they're really funny to watch. But the alien designs are amazing in this movie for the Drax. So basically, they have to survive together to make it on this planet. They get meteors that fall every couple of hours. There's, as we said, these tentacle monsters that are everywhere. There's these little turtle monsters that come out, and Dennis Quaid starts hunting them for food, and he figures out that the shell from them will repel the meteors, so they can set up a shelter out of the shells. So him and the Drax become friends. They learn each other's languages, and eventually Dennis Quaid decides that if they stay in this place, they're going to die. Like, they're going to die anyway, but they're going to die slowly without knowing. And so he decides he's going to set out and find out what's on the planet. The Drax stays put. Doesn't explain why, he just stays there. So Dennis Quaid goes, and finally he finds some signs of humans. He sees a futuristic Pepsi can, which is a great product placement because it's clearly a futuristic can. But it has the 80s style Pepsi logo on it.
Awesome.
Great way to get some money in a sci-fi movie.
So wait, what does the can look like that makes it futuristic?
It's like a normal can on the bottom third, and then it puffs out into a ball, and then like has a wider like lip at the top.
Huh, okay.
It's like if you crossed a bottle and a can, and it had like the bubble on the top.
Okay, so basically it's one of those change for change's sake sort of things.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Very much so. Just so you understand, it's the future.
Cool,
and perfect. You can accept that there's a Pepsi can there. But he realizes as he's digging through, he sees Drax skulls and scars where there was obviously mining, and so he realizes that's there's scavengers there. Now, we find out through his monologue, these scavengers were tolerated by humans. They go and they enslave Drax, and they tolerate them because they're enemies of the Drax, but they think that they're all scum too. Mm-hmm. And we establish through arguments he's had with the Drax that who started the war, was it the Drax or the humans? They don't really seem to know. They just argue back and forth. But he gets back, and he doesn't have the heart to tell the Drax what he saw, because he finds out immediately that the Drax is pregnant. Now, the Drax is played by Louis Gossett Jr., but they explain pretty quickly that his creatures are asexual, and they don't have a choice for when they reproduce. They just reproduce at a certain time. It happens, and that's it. So he's having a baby now. So Dennis Quaid learns the songs of the ancestors of the Drax to pass the time, and the Drax learns his ancestors. And it's a really touching scene because you can see they start to learn that they have similarities. The Drax going through his holy book, which Dennis Quaid insults at first, and then eventually, because there's no other books, he wants to read it. And so he apologizes for making fun of his god. The Drax turns around and apologizes for making fun of Mickey Mouse, because Dennis Quaid leads him to believe that his god is Mickey Mouse. And so they have a really touching moment where Dennis Quaid is learning to read these things, learns about his religion. They're learning about each other, and they learn that they actually like each other. The lair winds up infiltrated by one of those tentacle monsters, digs up through the dirt and strangles the Drax. And so they get off into a cave in the middle of the snow because a lot of time has passed. And the only way you can really tell is by Dennis Quaid's beard. Like, he's clean shaven at the beginning. He has a hippie beard at the end of his time on the planet. Like, it's pretty long and flowing. He looks like he could be an extra in Lord of the Rings at this point. So, as a dwarf, you know what I mean? But not the handsome dwarf like all the other ones. So... Louis Gossett Jr. dies in childbirth, and Dennis Quaid takes the child, who grows at an accelerated rate, and starts to teach him the way of his people, but he's also inherently acts like a human as well, because obviously his uncle, as he calls him, is teaching him everything. And they have a scene that really, there's a lot of undercurrent in this, a lot of racial undertones, a lot of stuff about slavery, a lot of stuff about religion, and this movie really preaches tolerance and getting to know the other. They have this scene where the Drax doesn't understand why he has three fingers and why Dennis Quaid has five fingers, you know, and he grows to hate his face because it doesn't look like Dennis Quaid's face.
Well, I mean, I hate my face for not looking like Dennis Quaid's face.
And you can tell Dennis Quaid is, when he's talking the monologue, he's like, yeah, the kid was ugly but beautiful for a Drac and stuff. But when he gets to this point, there's no more of those little jabs, because he realizes that he's basically teaching the kid racism, teaching him to hate himself. And he doesn't want that. Like, he genuinely loves this Drac baby. So he goes out on the planet and goes hunting one day and tells the Drac to stay put, and realizes that the scavengers are out. And so he teaches Drac how to defend himself. He also has a great game of football, and this is what a great futuristic rule or world that this is, because he says, wow, you could be a running back for the Houston Oilers. Like, I like that in the future. The Houston Texans, they don't exist anymore. Good. Somewhere around 2092,
good,
it became the Houston Oilers.
Hey,
again.
You know what? If the Winnipeg Jets can do it, so can the Oilers.
Fuck yeah. So anyway, he teaches the Drac that he needs to stay away from the scavengers, tells him that he sees some Drac slaves with him. But of course, the kid wants to see other Dracs because he's never seen a Drac before. So he goes sneaking off and the scavengers capture him. Dennis Quaid comes out, kills a couple of the scavengers to protect him, but then one of the scavengers shoots him in the chest, and so he dies. And then we immediately see spotlights on him, and he gets picked up by the military. So we find out that he has been deserted on the planet for 3 years. They heal him up in a little pod, and he basically tells his entire crew to fuck off and that he's gonna go help his kid. And so he goes on to the scavenger crew and basically straight up murders most of the scavengers. He knocks out a couple of them, but it seems to be indiscriminate except for the main bad guy. And at the end of the movie, he takes the Drac back to his home planet, where he recites all of his ancestors, keeping his promise to the Louis Gossett Jr. Drac. It's a really touching movie, and I love it.
So, really, the big selling point for this movie, from my perspective, holy star-making turn for John Boyega. This is one of those movies where you just see the kid's presence and charisma, and you're like, this guy is going to be around. We are going to see him in something big. And clearly, J.J. Abrams and the Star Wars producers agreed with my opinion, because he is going to be one of the anchors of that movie. But he delivers in every scene of this movie. He's a kid. When they cast him, he had never acted in anything before. Not a school play, nothing. He just auditioned and knocked it out of the fucking park. And you know what? Any movie that can bring me a talent like that is way worth my time.
So I see that the kid has potential, because he does have a couple of good scenes, but it seems like most of the time he's just trying to basically imitate Dr. Dre on the cover of The Chronic. You know, I'm not thoroughly impressed by that turn, but what I am impressed by is Louis Gossett Jr., who is unrecognizable in his Drac makeup, does everything to set him apart from a human. The way he speaks, the way he rolls everything when he laughs, he goes... The way he sounds, his mannerisms, everything are so alien. And what's really incredible about this movie is that they set it up so that by the end, you really care about the Drax. And with the exception of Dennis Quaid, you're not really a big fan of the humans. And they managed to build this entire race of sentient creatures that you really believe exist. And I think that that's a giant strong point of Enemy Mine.
So this is where I have to take a shot about a movie I have not seen. I love in movies where it's using art as metaphor for life. I love that. You know what I hate? I hate when it's cloying, saccharine, obvious, and heavy-handed. And I really hate it when it's done with a surface-level idea. Like, oh, this is what we're going for. Let's do the basics. Like, everything you said to me in those scenes, first of all, they sounded like the first things anybody would think of if they're like, oh, what if we did an alien movie about xenophobia and racism? It's almost like those scenes were checking off a list of things they wanted to get to, which is great when you're making an awesome action movie, not so great when you're trying to be artistic about something. And it's just one of those things that really gets under my skin, and I cannot support a movie that does that.
I mean, I would counter that with the fact that it seems like the entire point of this movie is that a kid goes after to kill an alien and learns that his actions have consequences, which they literally say in the movie. You cannot get more ham-handed than that.
That might be the first time in this show's history where someone jumped on a point against their movie.
No, what you say, that happens, but it happens in your movie, too. I mean, you can't say that doesn't happen in my movie.
Definitely. But guess what?
But I can't say that doesn't happen in your movie.
No, you can't. Here's the thing. At least with mine, it's not obviously, that's not the goal of the movie. That's not the point of, like, that's not, that's just something that came about from the movie. Also, here's the other difference. Joe Cornish, first-time director. So I can cut a first-timer some slack. Wolfgang Peterson should know better. He is a man who should know better.
I'm always going to take the movie that talks about the other and actually teaches a lesson about it over something where it's the entire thing is one lesson. It's one lesson, dude, and that's that he shouldn't have done it. This entire thing is like there's an alien in a car. He attacks the alien, like it attacks him, and he decides to kill it. And then you find out by the end of the movie, they're only attacking him. They're going after him. And by the way, it doesn't even follow logic because tons of other people kill the aliens. They don't go after the other people unless they're in the way of him.
Well, remember, it wasn't the killing the alien that did it. It was that he had the alien blood all over him.
I don't know that that's the case.
I 100% know that that's the case because they make it very clear that that's the case.
That doesn't change the fact that this is all based off a ham-handed lesson. I'm just saying, there's ham hands all over our movies.
Again, definitely. But again, first-time director versus veteran should know better.
And it's a great movie. It's a classic. Still around. Attack the Block bombed horribly.
Every movie's still around.
It's, well, that's not true. Skate Town USA is hardly around.
But it's still around. We saw it.
Regardless, your movie like has one thing to teach. There's actually levels in this, and you can ignore those levels because it's just a good story in itself.
There's way more things to teach about from Attack the Block.
Okay, such as?
Don't fuck with the block.
Wow.
Hang on. Hang on. I'm not done. If you're going to hide out somewhere, a crazy-ass weed room is a great place to do it. And if you are working for a charitable organization, don't walk around with your headphones in all the time. Pay attention. Just generally pay attention.
So what we learn is stupid traits that certain characters have in your movie.
Oh, and so...
Hold on. Who's talking now?
Both of us at this point. You were talking on my point literally a minute ago.
Only because you jumped on it. It was still my turn on the bell. Now, we could sit here and go rounds about that, which we could. Because
forever.
Once again, I'm being on Front Street here. They're both ham-handed as hell. My movie teaches a lot of valuable lessons that I think are more important than Attack the Block, which is like, I don't even know, dude, which is just stick up for your block. I mean, that's essentially what it comes down to. It ends with him in a jail. He's basically in a van.
Yep.
And we get the impression that he learned a lesson before that, but then it all washes away with him smiling with the block chanting his name. Like, he really learned about his glory.
Goddamn right he did.
There's no glory with Dennis Quaid's character. Like, he has gone to an alien planet, and you get the impression that he's just there. Like, he's never going to find another woman. Like, he's never going to find another human because he has taken this child as his own. Like, this child is now his responsibility, and he's going to do the responsibility. He actually learns like a valuable lesson in it. Whereas, like, I'm not sure how much this 15-year-old really learns except for give the ring back when you steal it from a girl who, like, what, like, helps nurse somebody to enough health before he gets killed, right?
I mean, yeah.
It's basically the lesson he learns. Right, but that's not much of a lesson. So if we're going to go ham-handed, I think there's a more like important ham-handed lesson from mine.
But is it that important when we've been told this forever? This is not, there's not an original bone in this, in your movie's body.
There's plenty of original bones in my movie's body, especially when you consider it was 1984. A lot of movies fed off of that one and respun the message out.
Guess what? That's an old message. And also, can we talk about the kind...
So grow up.
So wait, hold on. How come you get to jump on my bell, but I get screamed at when I jump on yours?
I haven't even rung the bell. Like,
yes, you did. There's audio evidence. Why would you make that claim?
All right, go ahead.
So the way we learn the lesson about not hating the other, about appreciating the other, about not fearing the other, to, at the climax of the film, murder a fuckload of the others who don't really need to be murdered.
Not the others. Scavengers.
Yeah, and
where, who took slaves.
And are they the other?
No.
No? They're not the
No.
So no, they're human.
Okay, well, here's the thing. There's only... They're either the other or they're with him. And it's still, this is a movie where it's like, oh yeah, your valuable lesson is just ceaseless murder. Just ceaseless murder.
Okay, he does go do murdering, but A, he's a soldier. B, what do your characters do? They go and murder every single alien that they've run up across. Dennis Quaid goes to murder an alien, realizes that, like, it's not his place to kill this person because this person has a heart and a soul. These other people don't. I mean, they're slavers. They're awful people. And they take his kid. It's not like they're innocent in this. They're beating the crap out of Drax before he even does this. Every person who he spills blood from deserves it in the end. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit here and stick up for slavers. Like, the slavers deserve to go. I don't care if they're the other in this particular case. They're evil. Slavery is clearly evil.
Okay, I shouldn't have to say this, but I may as well. Of course I agree that slavery is 100% evil. However, I do think that if your entire message is about, you know, peace, to then have a climax of murder kind of waters down the message a little bit. Are you familiar with a false equivalency? Are you familiar with that phrase?
No.
It's where you pretend two things are equal that are not. Would you agree that the aliens in Attack the Block are not quite the same as the Drax?
No, they're not even close.
Not even in the same ballpark. So to say that we should treat these monsters who show up and immediately, within seconds of arriving, start attacking people.
That's what they did.
And do
that's
not...
That's what hang the people on. Did. They attacked the alien first.
Hang on. And do not stop at any point. Cannot think, like, cannot reason at all. At all. Just pure murder machines that run entirely on instinct are a little bit different. Like, a closer equivalent would be like if wolves just somehow started attacking everyone all the time.
Okay, so I think that my message got twisted by you somehow, because you insinuated that I was talking about peace, and I was not talking about peace. I was talking about understanding. There is no peaceful message in this movie, nor do they try and give a peaceful message. There is a long-standing war going on between these aliens and humans, and we don't know who is at fault or if they were both at fault, first off. Second off, at no point did I say peace. It was about understanding who is there. And by the way, they're not necessarily just bad once you get to know them. But beyond all of that, this movie was about racial tolerance and religious tolerance. And that is actually what this movie is about. And that's what I've been trying to say. Attack the Block is not about these things. You never claimed they were about these things.
At no point did I claim that.
Attack the Block feels more like it was about the kids' glory in the end to me. They have the little ham-handed message in it, but in the end it's more about like him getting that glory of everybody chanting his name at the end of the movie.
The first thing is, you're right. I sort of insinuated peace from the way you described the movie. Now I gotta say, I'm a little more distressed that this movie about warring cultures has no interest in peace. I don't see that as a positive.
You don't see how understanding other people might be an end war?
I understand that. What I'm saying is, you straight up said no mention of peace. So again, This is a movie that is not presenting peace as a good idea.
No, it's not presenting it as a bad idea necessarily either. It is a very specific message about tolerance.
Right. And you don't think, what is the goal of tolerance?
What do you mean?
What is the end game?
But you why tell me what the goal is.
So that we stop murdering each other. Which, another way of saying that would be, peace.
Okay, but they straight up stole his kid. What's he supposed to do?
So the bells just straight up don't matter
They tried to murder him. You paused. I thought you were done.
No. Just because someone pauses.
Go ahead.
You will know when I'm done. Secondly, there's an important distinction. It's not about getting glory. It's about glory as a byproduct of doing something that earns it. It's about glory as a byproduct of not being shitty. It's like, hey, look, if you're not shitty, you get rewarded for it. Look at that. So there's a big difference between actively seeking glory and getting it as a byproduct of something you do. Like Peyton Manning, which I only said that because I saw your jersey. It was not specifically a pandering move, but it could be if you'd like it to be. Peyton Manning does not play football for glory. He plays it because he loves it, because he's really fucking good at it, and they pay him a shitload of money.
Okay, it doesn't matter whether he's going for glory or not. My point is that's the end scene of the movie. Whereas my movie ends with the voice of a million Drax singing out in unison while Dennis Quaid watches proudly as his adopted son takes on the lineage. And by the way, Dennis Quaid's lineage also added into it. His waitress mother, his cop father, both in the lineage of the Drax now. That's an important thing. It's not about glory at the end. It's about him doing the right thing. And by the way, there's a little bit of message about being a father in this, and I appreciate it.
So the only reason I'm laughing, because again, you have to remember I haven't seen the movie. So the way you described that that ending scene just reminded me immediately of Ewoks dancing and the ghosts, the Force ghosts looking on. And I'm just having a real hard time taking it seriously. I'm sorry.
Can I do round bell? That's fine, dude. It's an old sci-fi movie. I'm not pretending like it's not something that it isn't. This is about a Drac going into its Drachood. I don't know, manhood, whatever the equivalent of it is not really males or females. It doesn't matter. Like, the message is clear in this movie, and I really like the message, and it's well done. It's classic science fiction. It teaches you something while you watch it, and it's pretty good action. So that's all I got to say about that. Are we still fighting?
I just got one more. My problem is not with the message itself. That I want to make clear. It's not the message I have a problem with. Because again, I love art as metaphor. It's the fact that it seems like a very shallow, lazy telling of the message. And again, I haven't seen the movie, so it's a little unfair. But based on what I'm hearing, it really does sound like a checklist of a message. Like we want to make something with a message. Rather than message coming about naturally and feeling real. Basically, it reminds me a lot of Planet of the Apes. Which again, these messages are not new in art. These messages of understanding and tolerating. This is not new ground being traveled. And so if I'm going to get that, I just need more nuance and less, look, it's different and that can be okay.
All right. I've listened to both your arguments. It's been a really interesting back and forth go on these movies.
Especially considering one person that just making stuff up. Just plain old making stuff up. Not from thin air. But not from
but
a whole lot.
Educated.
Pretty darn close. It's a lot of educated guessing.
And I've watched both these movies today, well, over the weekend. So, I mean, I have a fresh perspective on both of these movies. And I just have to say Enemy Mine takes it in a landslide. So the reason that Enemy Mine takes it for me is there is so much going on as far as character goes. The sci-fi stuff is terrible. Just downright terrible.
The special effects are so off.
I didn't even touch on those because I just sort of figured that was obvious.
Yeah. So
no, I mean, like, even like looking back at an old science fiction movie, this is like a step back from that. I mean, the sci-fi stuff is really bad. Yes. Other than the
especially
Utah,
for the 80s, it's pretty bad special effects wise.
Yeah,
except for the Drax,
costuming is amazing. Yeah,
the Drac in particular, because the other aliens looked so corny, but the Drax look incredible. Like, I'd still, you could do that cost. I mean, am I wrong on that? You could probably do the costume for the Drax today, and people wouldn't blink twice. I mean, you don't need to do CGI when you do the practical effects that well.
And as far as even how he portrayed, like, he was like just kind of squatting, and he looked like a xenomorph sitting on this. A little rock.
Yeah, like the way his head shape, because you were probably looking at the cover when you were talking.
No, I was right? on, I looked at a whole shitload.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, like they have this weird, like, super long oval head.
Yeah.
And like they crouch down and like.
With the tail.
Fingers and tails and the little bony things come out. Like the practical effects on that costume are amazing. That being said, everything else is dog shit for effects. I mean, like you said, even for the day, we were laughing earlier before we started recording about the space battle, because it looks like they covered up the strings. Like, it's awful. It's really terrible.
Watching Attack the Block, it just left so much that I wanted more out of. I was looking for more humor out of it, more action. I mean, the characters I really had a hard time with. The main boy, was it Moses?
Mm-hmm.
The guy that looked like a 50 Cent?
Yeah, I thought he looked like 50 Cent mixed with Denzel.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a great look, but it's working for him, clearly.
Before we continue with your review, I want to recant something that I just out and out lied. It's saying about, like, doing the Dr. Dre stare, which he does a lot, but that's totally what the character would have done in those situations.
Absolutely.
That actor is incredible.
He's really fucking good.
And I'll just put that out on Front Street. Like, the only really positive thing, there's two positives I can take from that movie, and I'll get to the other one in a second, but that actor is really, really
he's
good.
He's going to be special.
I agree with you. Like, he's I had no special. Idea about the Star Wars thing until you said it tonight, but he was great in this. So
yeah,
I really, even though I will leave it in when I tore him down.
Well, I think people sort of assume we're lying during some of the debate segments,
but he was really, really good, and he was a highlight and for sure a rising star.
Yeah.
So as far as grades go, I would give Enemy Mine a satisfactory. I'd give it higher, but those special effects really tore down. It was, because I rented it, it was like 12 o'clock at night. I threw it in. I watched it, and like the first 15 minutes of the space battle, it was like, oh, what did I do?
I had the same reaction. And like, then he gets to the planet.
And then they get to the planet, and it totally switches mood, and it's a great movie from then out.
Yeah, the space battle is basically like, we have to get through this to get to the movie. That's kind of what it was. If I were to re-edit that, I would have like the crashes and just pick it up from the planet.
Yeah.
I really don't think you need the beginning.
No.
At all.
Or something where, you know, you could have a voiceover going over something where
they use voiceover in this for sure.
They definitely do that. And something like that would have flowed way better. And other than the terrible, terrible.
So do you give Attack the Block?
Attack the Block, I'm going to have to go Needs Improvement, because I really, like, the humor was really dry. I did like the monsters, and it was the pheromones, not the blood, that was all over.
No, that's right. Yeah, not the blood. I just remember the UV light.
Yeah,
and
he looked like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Yeah, he does look like he got just jizzed all over.
I got a cop to the fact that I think I missed that part. I don't know what I was doing, but maybe I was grabbing a cup of coffee or something and looked down, but I totally missed that part. Oh. Somehow. I just caught that they were going after him. So.
Yeah, no, because I was like, how'd you miss? They literally spell it out for you.
I think I just told you. I think I was grabbing a cup of coffee. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. I was tired.
So I'm going to go with Needs Improvement on Attack the Block.
You want to go ahead?
Sure. Obviously, incomplete for Enemy Mine. If that has not been made clear at this point in the show, I really don't know how to emphasize it anymore.
Would you watch it?
I mean, I was planning to for the show anyway, so probably at some point. Here's the thing. It's one of those movies I've seen clips of, and I had seen around when I worked at Hastings, like we had a copy of it forever. And I didn't think it looked bad. I just didn't care. I was just like, yeah, sure. This is another movie that exists. Like, it was always one of those that I just never had any interest in whatsoever. And I've never heard good things about it until tonight. This is literally the first time I've heard.
Because I've said good things many times.
Here's what I'll say. That was more an establishment of from you two specifically. Right. Okay. Like, I've never heard anybody who's seen it until you two who said they liked it.
That's why
it gets shit on everywhere. Like, I've never seen people like it. So, and I didn't assume it'd be like I'd hate it. I was just like, I had already not been interested, and then hearing people just shit all over it, I was less interested. Attack the Block for me, I wavered a lot because I was thinking on the way here what rating I'd give it, and I wavered a lot between satisfactory and needs improvement. Because I think I think part of it is like I'm the perfect age for that movie, and in the right, like the same generation. Like it's very
this
much
is a, talk a movie we had.
Too. Yeah, this is very much a movie for me and the sort of people I hang out with. Liked a lot of the humor. I liked it more than Brandon.
Just
I think.
Go with your heart, man.
Well, that's the thing is I don't know where my heart is because truthfully, it needs a lot of improvement. Like, and that's was sort of what you expect from a first time director. The other person I think has a lot of potential is Joe Cornish as a director, because like sort of the way a lot of the scenes are shot and arranged, and like visually it's very interestingly done. So like I saw a lot of potential with him too. But it really is the John Boyega show. And so I think I'll sort of split the difference and go needs improvement plus. It would be a satisfactory if it weren't for like it. If this had been Joe Cornish's third or fourth movie, I think we'd be looking at a very different version of it.
Okay, so here's the irony. I was the one that talked the most shit about Attack the Block.
Uh-huh.
I'm giving a satisfactory minus. And here's the thing. There was a lot of scenes that I was like, come on. But I made the observation to Zach. I think I'd enjoy this a lot more if I was younger. And when I try and look at it through those lenses, I would have enjoyed the shit out of this movie. Like, if I'd seen it 14 years ago, I would have been so fucking on board with this movie. And so I think it does what it needs to do with its audience. There's a very big reason why it hits into the satisfactory range, though, for me. Is they use practical effects of the aliens, and I love the way that they do
that. Design was really cool.
Basically, they have, and we didn't really talk about it too much, but they have these neon teeth that really glow, which was a great idea, and then these black furry bodies, which I'm not exactly sure how they did it, but I know it was people in costumes that were running around, and somehow they just make it pitch black to where it's almost like somebody ink blotted.
They used a super dark texture for the costumes and then digitally added in over top of it take out reflective light.
Now, I didn't talk about the costume design of Attack the Block because obviously it wasn't helpful to me in the argument, but I do want to talk about that right now. It was the most original alien like designs that I've seen in a long time from like a recent movie. So I got to give it
the way their mouths open so that the glowing teeth look like eyes at first was a really nice touch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The bit where he puts his hand in the fur and it just completely disappears is really cool.
Yeah. So I started out really not liking this movie because I was like, I don't like
it. It takes a long time to get going.
I didn't relate to any of the characters. Like throughout the movie, there was not a single character I related to. Whereas where it veers into the needs improvement category.
Yeah.
But ultimately that one great actor, I mean, that guy who played Moses was incredible in it. And so it gets a satisfactory minus, and I feel good about that rating. Now that being said, Enemy Mine, for everything I said, like I said, it's dog shit special effects except for that the Drax designs. But that being said, I really, really enjoy the character development on it. I mean, it's one of those rare movies where everything else in this movie is ancillary to these two relationships. Dennis Quaid with Louis Gossett Jr.'s character and Dennis Quaid with the child. And you can forget about every other character in the movie because they don't matter. The heart, the soul, the mind, everything in this movie revolves around those two relationships. And that's the reason why I'm going to give this a satisfactory plus, because there's plenty of things that can pull it down. It is a bit ham-handed at times, I will admit. But the characters, you really see them grow. And I mean, it's like an hour, 45 minutes, but you see them grow and they space it out enough through time where you can understand, like when there's a little leap, you understand like, okay, they've probably spent like a year together at this point. so it grows. And I feel like they earn everything that happens in the movie, which is why I really like this movie. I really feel like the people who shit on that movie nowadays, who have seen it, are probably just focusing on the special effects and they're not looking at the character development. And I don't give a shit what those people say, because, and you're right, this movie is vastly underappreciated. Like, a lot of people don't like this movie, but I really feel like the people who don't like this movie, they don't care about watching a movie about, like, they don't care about watching a bromance. They don't care about watching a father-son story. And that's essentially what these two movies are at its core. I didn't say it because it's kind of boring when you're like going through the debates,
yeah,
you know, to focus on that. But that's really what captures me in this movie. It's not as much the racial tolerance thing, but I do like that it's there for when my kids watch this movie, and they've all watched this movie and they all like it. But it's those relationships that keeps me watching this movie after all these years. I mean, I saw this movie when I was like 6 years old, and I still watch it and I enjoy it.
I think the reason I didn't end up going Satisfactory for Attack the Block is, if I was rating on pure enjoyment, I would have, because I enjoy the shit out of that movie. But as a film, like, it literally needs improvement. So I had to settle there.
And I agree with both of those. The action satisfied me, but yeah, there was a lot of things that were kind of hard.
It needs improvement in the most literal sense of the term. Because it's not a negative needs improvement, I don't think. Like, needs improvement in terms of our scale sort of has a negative connotation because it's towards the lower end. But it's a positive needs improvement. Like, you have stuff to build on, now build it.
And I will say that I would like to see Joe Cornish get another film, too. I was looking at his IMDb, and it doesn't seem like he's directed another film. I don't know if he's going to get another chance. It's going to have to be something where he goes out of his own pocket, I'm thinking.
Probably,
considering, like, 5 out of 15 million, that's pretty rough. I would like to see him get another shot at a movie. And like I said, like, I, at the end of the day, it's a Satisfactory minus for me. That's not a bad grade by any means.
Not at all.
You get bad grades as needs improvement is when I'm disappointed. Unsatisfactory is when I fucking think it's a whole steaming pile of dog shit. So I give Attack the Block a solid meh.
If you want that type of movie, and I think the age thing helps, then you will probably enjoy yourself watching it. But it really is, the big draw really is John Boyega. That kid's gonna make it.
That kid's got something.
All right, so fill those seats so we don't have to. And who the fuck is Adam Shadowchild?